You bow your heads with me. Our gracious Father, there are many things happening around us. Lord, we pray for wisdom. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to your word. Many are looking for encouragement. Many are looking for that light at the end of the tunnel. We know that hope and encouragement are only found in you. And so we pray that you'll speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It was August 25th when Hurricane Harvey made landfall in Corpus Christi. This was the start, really, of a series of events that have surprised and many people. In the case of Hurricane Harvey, dozens of people were killed, and there was a total losses between $45 and $66 billion. September 7th, an 8.0 earthquake strikes southern Mexico. Also dozens dead. Great destruction, billions of dollars in losses. September 10th, Hurricane Irma, after destroying the many of the islands in the Keys, in the Caribbean, strikes Florida with winds of 130 miles per hour, 72 deaths in Florida, total losses between $10 and $30 billion. September 19th, a 7.1 earthquake strikes 80 miles southeast of Mexico City, 326 people dead, billions of dollars in losses. September 21st, Hurricane Maria makes landfall in Puerto Rico as a Category 4 storm, causing what some have described as an apocalyptic devastation, leaving the entire island without electricity, water, or communication. Not far from here, September 24th, a gunman entered Burnett Chapel in Antioch, kills one, injured seven. October 1st, a madman opens fire in a crowd of 20,000 people, killing 58 and counting him 59, over 500 dead. And then just this week, the big news, of course, has been the wildfires in California. There's been, I think, 33 dead, I last heard, over 3,500 structures that have been damaged or burned up. Well, maybe you say, so what? These things have always happened. The only reason we know more about these things is because today we have better ways of communication. I mean, after all, we haven't had a major hurricane in over 10 years. We were due. Fires in California happen every year. What's the big deal? Is there something that we need to be preparing for? You know, sometimes we become desensitized about certain things. And maybe you're the ones, I know that maybe all of us are guilty of this. When we turn on the TV and all the news channels are speaking of these things, and we're just flipping through channels. Well, listen, let me see what the football game is looking like. We don't want to hear these things anymore. But is there something happening in our world? Is there something we need to be preparing for? You know, we as Adventists, and I realize not everybody here is a Seventh-day Adventist, the word Adventist means what? I believe in a soon second coming, right? We know the story very well. You know, we hear it a lot and through our meetings and Bible studies. We know about the signs of the end, right? We see in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. And the story, the behind it, Jesus and the disciples are walking and they stop by the temple, and the disciples are pointing to the temple and admiring the beauty of this structure. And Jesus takes advantage of this and he says this temple is going to be destroyed. Now, for a Jew, the temple was the center of their culture. It was the center of their nation. They valued the temple. And so news that the temple was going to be destroyed meant that surely the world was going to end. And so they asked a question that starts the whole thing in Luke 21:7. I invite you to open to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21. This is where we're going to spend time on, Luke chapter 21. Jesus, they ask this question. We find it also in Matthew 24. And then Jesus starts by giving them the signs of the end. Luke 21:7, teacher, But when will these things be? What signs will there be when these things are about to take place? Now most of us could probably recite these signs, right? Oh, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. There shall be famines and pestilences in various places. There shall be false Christs and false prophets. And you know, maybe we have heard these signs so many times that, again, we become desensitized. Maybe we've repeated ourselves. And we've come to the point where these things that we see, that when we read them in the Bible, when we see them in real life, they are having no impact on the way we live our lives. They're having no impact on the decisions and the priorities that we make. Could that be happening? Well, in Luke's account of the signs of the end, Jesus, after he presents the signs, things that were going to happen, he describes the attitudes, he describes the feelings of the people in the world when they see these things happening. In fact, if you go to verses 25 and 26, that's Luke 21, 25 and 26. This is how Jesus describes it. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Jesus is saying here that there's going to be anguish, that people are going to be anxious, that people are going to be afraid as they see these things happening. And I don't know if you talk to anybody, maybe your neighbors or coworkers, friends, about these things that we've been witnessing in the last 6 weeks or so. People are afraid. They are afraid. They don't know what's next. I mean, think about it. They're just expecting the expectation that something else is going to happen, because one thing after the other, one thing or the other. What's going to happen next? I was talking to a member of the Murfreesboro Church who works at the VA. And she was working with this gentleman who apparently he wasn't Christian. But the point is, he were talking about the all the events that are happening. And he said that something is going to happen. This world is going to end, isn't it? And then he, as they continued in the conversation, he blurted out that he has a rifle in his trunk. Now, you know, if the cops stop you with a rifle in your trunk, you're going to get in trouble. But his reasoning was, listen, you just never know when you're gonna need it. People are afraid. They're anxious. They're in anguish, just like Jesus said. But I suppose do you think it's natural to be afraid? Maybe it's natural to be anxious by the things that are happening. Especially if you have been a victim of these things, or perhaps if you have family and friends that have been a victim of these things, natural disasters and violence. It's perfectly natural to be afraid and anxious. But what I found is that this anxiety, this fear, comes from the unknown, the unexpected. What's going to happen next? Yeah. In fact, I'm reminded of a conversation, sort of an interview that was taking place in Puerto Rico. Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico on a Wednesday. And so on Thursday evening, Friday, you know, Lucy and I were listening. There was one radio station in the island that was able to transmit via internet. And there was one TV station that was able to do that by Thursday evening. We were looking and listening to all the things that are happening. Now, you know that Hurricane Irma actually passed through Puerto Rico. It went just north of the island, so it was spared, but it did cause some damage. So people already anxious. Hurricane Irma passes, and now comes Hurricane Maria, and of course Hurricane Maria right through the middle of it destroys the entire island. Now, by Thursday, I mean, this is all new, all the devastation, and yet more is coming. There was rain, and they're talking about flash floods, as if the island wasn't flooded already. They're talking about flash floods. And then they're talking about a dam on the northwest part of the island, not far from our hometown. And a helicopter flew by and realized that the dam was failing. And they said that the failure is imminent. They needed to evacuate 70,000 people. This is already dark in a very rural area with no communication. How in the world are they going to do that? And then, so they're talking to this lady, and all these things happening, and she's saying, when is this going to end? Is there an end in sight? For a lot of the people, think about it, for a lot of the victims in Houston and Florida and the Keys, to go back to normal is going to take a very long time. In fact, I have a friend who was a colleague in Philadelphia, and he retired and moved with his wife to St. Thomas. And, of course, Hurricane Irma mostly wiped out St. Thomas. What was left at St. Thomas was destroyed by Maria. And, of course, he retired, so I think he was working part-time as a paramedic. His wife got a job at the hospital there, and that's how they were making their living. The hospital was completely destroyed. Everything is gone. He has nothing left. Start life from scratch, as it were. Is there an end in sight? Jesus talks about that end in verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So Jesus talks about the signs. When they see these things, they'll be anguished. The people will be afraid. People will be anxious. But then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is the end. The question is, do we wait till then? Do we wait till we see Jesus finally coming in the clouds of heaven to make preparations for ourselves? Do we wait till then? Well, notice what Jesus says in verse 28. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. I want to point out what Jesus doesn't say in this passage. Jesus doesn't say that when all these things, these signs of the end, when you see them happening time after time, they're every day, they become so predictable, that's when you make preparations. That's when you realize that he's coming soon. That's not what he says. He says when you begin to see these signs. It is when you start seeing these signs. Many people, these things mean nothing. I bring out, Ted, the fact that we listen to talk radio. You and I listen to talk radio, right? And a lot of this rhetoric, and unfortunately it's become political, is, the whole issue of climate change. Well, there's some people say, well, there's no climate change. Others say there's climate change. And yet you can't deny the things that are happening in the world. Whether you believe in climate change or not, friends, global warming is coming. It's happening. It's happening. The fact of the matter is something is happening. It is when you begin to see the signs, the early signs. When you begin to see these signs, you must realize that the rescue is near. You must realize that an event is about to take place in this world that is not rivaled by any other. It is when you begin to see these signs that we ought to take Christianity seriously and make priorities. Or should I say, make him our priority. It is when we begin to see these signs, friends, that we must stop playing church and start living as one. When we begin to see the signs. It is the early signs. Jesus places a lot of stock on early signs. And this is what he has in mind as he continues in verses 29 through 33, the parable of the fig tree. And he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. There's a lot of meat in these passages. We could spend a lot of time just there. But what I want to point out is the issue of the fig tree. In Palestine, the fig tree was the first tree to show its leaves. It acts as a harbinger of what's coming. In other words, you didn't have to wait till the fig tree was full of ripe figs to know that the summer was coming. It was the early signs. When the leaves start budding, that's when you know. And what we are seeing, friends, is the same thing, the beginning. The beginning. Paul talks about, and Jesus too, about the fact that the signs in the end will be like labor pains. Huh? When you start when the ladies start having the pain, you're not having the baby right now, but the pain is already starting. You know that at some point that baby's going to be born. That's what we're seeing, the start, the early signs, friends. Not the later ones. Not when the water breaks, but when the pain starts. And you see, I think that in spite of being Adventists, and again, I don't realize that we have some guests that are not Adventists, but we believe in a soon coming of Christ. Yeah, because at least our name implies it. But could it be? Could it be that in spite of that, what's behind our name or the denomination we belong to, we've become like a world that is not expecting Jesus to come? We become like a world that says, so what? These things have always happened. That means nothing. Could it be that we become people like, well, you know I got to get ready. I'll wait till the Sunday law starts being implemented. Then I'll get ready. Early signs, friends. Jesus is speaking to us this morning, and he's saying that is that when we begin to see these things, that's when his kingdom is near. And I praise God that it is near. I can't wait. I wish it was today. And yet, friends, you know, I just don't know what to pray for. I'll be honest with you. When all these things were happening, you know, God is in charge of the weather. He created the world. When Irma was coming, and they're talking the news, they're talking at the trajectory. When Maria was coming, and Lord, please, you have the power to push that away. And yet it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And we pray for these people, right? But quite frankly, I don't know what to pray for because, see, I believe that the solution to the problems and the tragedy of this world is the coming of Christ. Do you believe that? Because I do. Maybe I'm the only one and Dorothy. Jesus is the solution, friends. But think about this. Before Jesus comes, we know what the Bible says, don't we? It's all there. We know that the Bible tells us that before it gets better, it's going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. We haven't seen anything yet. If you think that we've seen in the last 6 weeks is bad, you haven't seen anything yet. And so when we pray that Jesus comes, and I think we ought to be praying, think about what's behind that. We're saying, Lord, come, even though I know this is going to get drastically worse. Daniel 12:1. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Are you sure you want to go through that? How are we going to make it through a time like this? How are we going to make it? If we're not making preparations, friends, how are we going to make it? This is why the early signs are important. It is when we begin to see these signs. We need to be paying attention. Are you paying attention this morning? Are you? Are you watching? Because Jesus, this is important to him. Notice verses 34 and 35. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day comes on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. This word, take heed, it means just that. Pay attention. Be aware to be devoted to something. Yeah, Jesus is saying you need to be devoted to this. This needs to be important to you that you are ready for the day is coming. Because you're not ready, and he says, again, we will be weighed down with the carousing. This word means the decadence, the overconsumption, and the pursuit of all that the world has to offer. And you know, many of us, I suppose it's only natural, we have a lot of goals and dreams, don't we? Things that we want to achieve in this life. We're working hard for them. There's nothing wrong with that. But could it be that those things have become more important than your preparation? We spend a lot of time in other things, except in the things that we ought to be spending time with. Yes, God likes that we have goals and dreams, and he helps us with them, but there is a problem when these things become more important. The drunkenness, we become drunk. I have experienced that. When a person is drunk, you can't think clearly. You can't think clearly. You can't stand firm. And so we become carousing. Some things have become more important to carousing the pursuits of the things of this world. We become drunk and we're not ready. The day comes unexpectedly because of the cares of this world. There are so many things in our minds that takes our priority. And Jesus says that if that happens, the day will come and you won't expect it. And I ask you, do you think that cannot happen to us because we're Seventh-day Adventists? I want to submit to you that it already has. That it is happening. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't happen, friends. This is why we need to be paying attention. We become distracted. The early signs are important. And if we're not paying attention, if we don't think that the events that we have witnessed are there to wake us up, we are going to be caught off guard. And the day will come and we won't even realize it, even though we were Adventists. Mrs. White in the book Christ's Object Lessons, page 318 and 319, she wrote that sad will be the retrospect in that day when men stand face to face with eternity. Sad will be the retrospect because they're looking back and realizing that they should have been ready, that they should have made preparations, and they didn't. She continues saying, men will then see that the righteousness they despise is alone of value. The righteousness they despise, those things, because I despise the righteousness, and I despise what I should have been doing, my time with Christ, the important things, because I valued others. It is then, when it's too late, that they will realize I should have made preparations. I should have made better priorities. There will be no future probation, she says, in which to prepare for eternity. It is in this life that we are to put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. This is our only opportunity to form characters for the home which Christ has made for those who obey his commandments. The days of our probation are fast approaching. The end is near. And she wrote that in the 1800s. And if the end was near back then, how much closer it is today? What should we be doing then? How should we be living our lives? So Jesus says that what we should be doing is watching. Verse 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. It's no coincidence that we read throughout the Gospels that Jesus consistently says, watch, pay attention. And this time he says, watch and pray. Have you been praying? They've been praying for these events, these things that have been happening. Maybe we're praying before they happen so that they didn't happen, but they happen anyway now. We ought to be praying for those affected by these things, the devastation and the need. And it's not only praying, but finding ways to help out if you can. You know, most of us can't, you know, travel to those places. I wish I could go to my island and help out. I can't. But maybe that you be a conduit to provide help for those that are in need. And I've been praying and thanking God for protecting us. Yeah, have you been doing that? God protect your family, your children, your spouse, that you have a roof over your heads, thanking God for that and asking God to continue to protect your family. Have you been doing that? I have. Asking God to never allow my family to go through these things. And I believe that God has the power to protect his people, right? Put a hedge of angels around them. And yet we have no guarantee. We have no guarantee that we will not go through these things that others are going through today. Because there are great consecrated, surrendered Christians. There are great Adventist Christians in Houston, in Florida, in Louisiana, in the Keys, in Mexico, and in Puerto Rico, and they've gone through these things. So perhaps one day we will be in the news. And so how will we survive? We need faith, friends. We need to be praying for that faith, for that trust in our Lord, because, you know, we ought to have that such a strong faith that we will stand firm even if the sky crumbles around us. But faith does not happen by God snapping his fingers when you pray and giving you all the faith that you need. It's something that takes time as you build that relationship with him. That's how faith comes. That's how faith comes. We ought to watch and pray. And you ask, well, how do I watch? Well, you watch by being in the Word, by making that a priority in your life, by making Jesus and his church a priority, by being involved in the mission of proclaiming the three angels' message to a world that so desperately needs it today. That's how we're watching. That's how we're watching. If we're not watching and praying, we will become distracted. We will become drunk by the cares of this world. And yes, some of these cares are important, they are good, but there should not be more important than the preparation. Watch and pray. Jesus says, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy of escaping all these things that will come to pass. It doesn't mean that we're going to escape maybe the hurricanes or the earthquakes. What he's saying, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy of escaping these things when he comes in the clouds of glory. That you will be there in the clouds of glory with your Lord. That's what we need to be watching and praying. That's the end. That's the end. You know, as some of you know, I am OCD and I plan ahead. I had a different plan for this morning. It was a different message. I had all prepared, PowerPoint, everything. But God had a different plan. Maybe it's possible that as you leave today, as you talk about the sermon, you will say, well, Pastor really brought us down today. That's not the point. That's not the purpose. The purpose is for us to really think about what's happening and be prepared, be ready. You know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that is the question, the answer to the question that the lady made. What, is there an end in sight? Yes, there is an end in sight. Yes, there is an end in sight. And we ought to take advantage of these events and tell others about Jesus, about the days that we're living in. We need to be watching and praying and helping others to do the same. God will finally establish his kingdom, with or without us. In that kingdom, there will be no more earthquakes. There's not going to be any more Category 5 hurricanes. There's not going to be any more wildfires or mass shootings. And I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I want to be there that day. I wish it happened today. But it's going to happen. And what we're seeing is, again, the beginning signs that tell us that it's near. You better be watching. You better be paying attention. When you begin to see these signs, Jesus says, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Are you looking up this morning? Are you looking up? Are you paying attention? Are you watching? I hope you are. I certainly want to be watching. I want to be watching because in a little while, we're going home. We're going home. That's how we'll end our message, our service today, hymn number 626. In a little while, we're going home.